Support comes from the Columbus Foundation, who thanks everyone that supported our community's nonprofit organizations through their contributions to the Big Give. This historic giving rally is evidence of the generosity of our community. The spirit of Columbus is big indeed. Support for 89.7 comes from the Sherrington Group, financial planners and investment managers providing financial advice to client-focused solutions to help grow and preserve clients' wealth. The Sherrington Group, planning for success, managing for life, at sherringtongroup.com. This is WOSU 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are what we eat. We hear that all the time, but it's true, according to researcher and author Dr. Neil Barnard. Something as simple as spinach can actually help our brains work better. Dr. Barnard teaches medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences, and he is the president of the nonprofit Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. His latest book, Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. It's all about strengthening the most complex organ in our bodies simply by changing our diet. Dr. Barnard joins us from New York. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Let's talk about what we mean what we're trying to heal in the brain or what we're trying to prevent from happening in the brain.
Well, back in the early 1900s, Dr. Alzheimer, Alois Alzheimer, looked into the brain of a woman who had died after a dementing course, and she was not way up in years. She was in her 50s. And when she died, he looked into the brain, and he saw under the microscope things that shouldn't be there. In between the brain cells were little round collections of things that looked like, sort of like balls of yarn or little meatballs. And we now know what they are. They're collections of proteins that ooze out of the brain cells and collect in these little balls of yarn, as I call them. They're called beta amyloid plaques. And within the brain cells, there were abnormalities too. And so this disease became known as Alzheimer's disease. The problem is that 5 million Americans have it now. That number is going to triple in the next few decades. We don't have satisfactory treatments for it, and so it's been very frightening. The good news is that through a very different kind of science, by looking at large populations of people, we now know that certain dietary patterns protect us, and that's what we're trying to put to work.
Why is the incidence of Alzheimer's going to triple?
Well, partly it's baby boomers. They're just more older people than there used to be, and they're reaching that age. The other part of it, though, I hate to say it, we're bearing seeing the fruit of the fast food revolution of the 60s and 70s. In other words, I had the opportunity to track diet trends ever since 1909 when the USDA started looking at what we eat. And at that time, the average American ate, in a year's time, 124 pounds of meat, less than 4 pounds of cheese. As of 2005, 2010, right around in there, meat consumption has increased by about 75 pounds per person per year. Cheese intake has gone up about 30 pounds per person per year. So this tremendous load of animal fat coming into the diet seems to be, well, we know it's rough on the heart. It's rough on the brain, too.
You can barely escape it. I mean, even when you go to fast food and you say, let's say you order the burger, and I know you don't want them eating burger either, but now it's just cheeseburgers. You have to ask to leave the cheese off.
Oh, yeah. And people in the food industry learned a long time ago that if you put a little cheese under the bun, people find it gooey and tasty, and kids will eat it. And it wasn't just that. It was not just fast food. Think about what fast food sells. They're not selling asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling meats, cheeses, and also sugar. Sugar intake has gone way, way up, too. But the other trend, if you went back to 1940 and you were in Columbus or you were anywhere in Ohio, you did not see pizza places everywhere.
Hmm.
Well, it came in. And unlike a pizzeria in Rome, where they do have cheeseless pizzas, every pizzeria in Italy has two or three or four pizzas with no cheese at all. That's not the case in the United States. It's used as a vehicle for cheese, and schools have picked it up. So we're just eating in a way that is completely unprecedented. And in Chicago, the Chicago Health and Aging Project, found that those people in the city of Chicago who tended not to eat the saturated fats, their risk of Alzheimer's was cut by 50, 60, 70, as much as 80%. And if you also avoided the trans fats that are in donuts and snack pastries, that cut Alzheimer's risk too. Now, there are other factors that they've identified, but my job as a doctor is to put all these together and say, here are all the things that you can do to protect your brain against Alzheimer's. And if you add it up, you can easily, in my view, easily cut your risk by 70, 80%, or even more than that by steps anybody can take right now.
I get a sense of what we're up against, though, when in a press release for the 2013 Conference on Nutrition and the Brain, which we'll talk about in a second, you compare the eating problems or the dietary norm with tobacco.
The only difference is that we've beaten tobacco. My hospital, the George Washington University Hospital in Washington, D.C., we had a huge debate about 20 years ago about whether we could ban smoking in the hospital. It sounds crazy to think about it now, but every hospital, every restaurant, every business went through that, and we all made the right decision. But today with food, we haven't yet made that decision. Everybody knows that we are not eating right, whether it's in a school or in a business or at home or in communities. We know that we've got weight problems. We know we have heart disease and so forth. We haven't made the decision about what to do. So that's my job, is to tweak that a little bit and to push the dialogue from thinking about it to actually doing something.
Right. I mean, 30-odd years ago when I quit smoking, I remember somebody in my Smoke Stoppers class saying that cigarettes were her best friend. And a lot of people feel that way about food and bad food.
You know,
emotional connection that's hard to break.
There's not only is there an emotional connection, there's a brain connection. Certain foods do trigger the same part of the brain that's involved in reward, in pleasure, and in intimacy. So if a person is alone or angry or you feel betrayed, and you're feeling very upset and you might be feeling depressed and stressed, that is not a time when people steam up cauliflower. That is a time when we go for chocolate or we go for cheese or we go for sugar or we go for junk. Because all of those foods is sugar, chocolate, cheese, and also meat. You know, a lot of guys, they say the one food I would never give up is my grill. They need it. Those foods have mild opiate effects in the brain that have been demonstrated. In fact, I can block them with an opiate-blocking medication so that a person no longer craves chocolate anymore. The point I'm making is that when we feel alone, when we feel stressed, you don't want a strawberry. What you want is junk food, because that stimulates the part of the brain that makes you feel reassured in exactly the same way as heroin or morphine, albeit nowhere near that strength, nowhere near that social cost.
We have an email from Barbara. She says, I have a mostly vegetarian diet because my two teens are, but I'm having trouble keeping my blood sugar level with such little meat. I am not diabetic, but cannot have a lot of carbohydrates and sugars. Any suggestions on how to eat healthy?
Oh, what a terrifically important question. Yes. The whole view of diabetes and blood sugar control has changed. And up until now, people thought, well, if my blood sugar is high, it's because I either ate too much sugar or I ate carbohydrate, like bread, that turns to sugar in the blood. Well, that's all true, but the answer to it is not to avoid the carbohydrate, and here's why. Your body is designed for carbohydrate. The glucose that comes from it is the fuel for your brain, the fuel for your muscles. And if it's building up in your sugar, in your blood, and you're getting a high blood sugar, the reason is that the blood sugar can't get into the cells of the body where it belongs. Why not? When we do a certain kind of a scan called MR spectroscopy on the muscles of a person who's running high blood sugars, they may have diabetes, what we find is the muscle cells are filled with microscopic droplets of fat. It can be chicken fat, beef fat, olive oil, fryer grease. When the fat is building up in the muscle cells or also in the liver cells, then insulin doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work well. And so the blood sugar can't get in anymore. So don't avoid carbs. You should be eating rice and beans and high-carb foods. Get away from the animal fats. Your kids are so smart. going vegetarian, but get away from the cheese also and the oily foods. And then you discover your body can handle carbs again because your insulin is going to work very, very well.
When you're talking about getting these elements, you know, eating certain kinds of foods, does it matter if we're getting the vitamins and the minerals or whatever it is from the foods we eat, or can you just take pills?
Terrific question. For the most part, it should come from foods. One exception is vitamin B12, which really ought to come from a pill, but we learned about this the hard way. With beta-carotene, which is the orange color in carrots, people who eat more carrots and other foods rich in beta-carotene, sweet potatoes, for example, they have less risk of cancer. So researchers said, let's put that to the test, and they brought in smokers, large groups of smokers, because they're at high risk for cancer. Would beta-carotene protect them? Well, beta-carotene pills put to the test didn't work. In fact, they seem to have more cancer with beta-carotene pills because the pill only contained beta-carotene, and it left out the other 600 or so carotenoids. And in fact, it might have inhibited their absorption. Same with vitamin E. In a walnut or spinach or mangoes, there are 8 different forms of vitamin E. But if I take vitamin E pills, they might have just one form or two, and that disrupts the absorption of others. So you want to get it from food. The exception is vitamin B12. It comes from supplements in a form that is much more absorbable, especially for older people. So B12 is my one exception. Other than that, foods are going to give it to you.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. More of this conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard still to come. But first, membership manager Rob Walker and morning news anchor Steve Brown are here for an update on our fall membership drive.
Well, thank you very much, Ann. We are running a little bit behind, but we can still meet our goal with the support of listeners like you, listeners listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher right now. So please make the call to 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org. It's quick, it's easy, and then you're on with the rest of your day, the rest of the week, knowing you've done your part to support public radio in Central Ohio. So please make the call. Support 89.7 NPR News. Join Luann from Columbus, Beth Jewell from Worthington, and also Lisa Reynolds from Columbus, all of them calling this hour to pledge their support to 89.7 NPR News. Thanks again. Again, you can pledge at WOSU.org, and the number to call 1-866-897-9678.
And when you do support us at the $10 a month sustaining membership level, if you're enjoying the conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard, Power Foods for the Brain, that's his book, and we're offering that at a $10 a month sustaining membership level when you give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. Dr. Barnard is a researcher, doctor, and best-selling author. He has gathered information from research to deliver an effective 3-step program for boosting brain health. The book will help you put power foods to work, strengthen your brain, and defeat memory threats. The book is also an extension of the conversation that you're hearing on All Sides right now. So give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And when you become a sustaining member now at $10 a month, the Dr. Barnard book is yours.
1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. More thanks to Maria and Kenneth Jones calling from Galena. Also, Bonnie calling from Hilliard. Thanks to both of those for their support of 89.7. Perhaps when you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher, you know that Ann and her staff, it should be obvious that they work hard to bring you this diverse range of topics, whether doctors, other medical professionals, authors, playwrights. You're going to hear about all of it here on 89.7 on All Sides with Ann Fisher. And you're also part of the conversation, whether you're weighing in via email, calling on the Facebook page, sending tweets to the show. It's a back and forth. It's unique to Central Ohio. So please support All Sides with Ann Fisher when you go to WOSU.org to make your pledge or when you call 1-866-897-9678.
Now, just in a few minutes, we will get back to more of All Sides with Ann Fisher here on 89.7 NPR News, so don't go anywhere. But before we get back, if you wish to contribute at the $10 a month sustaining membership level, we'll be happy to offer you, as our way of saying thank you, the book that's being discussed right now by Dr. Neil Barnard, and that is Power Foods for the Brain. This is a fantastic book with 3 simple steps to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. That's our gift to you when you choose a $10 a month sustaining membership level. Now, a lot of folks ask, what exactly is a sustaining membership? Well, first of all, if you've got really detailed questions, our volunteers will help you through the process. But on the surface, basically, your credit card will be charged $10 a month. Every month, your membership in WOSU will automatically renew, and your WOSU member card will come as well. It's our gift to you is the book, and your gift to us is the sustaining membership, and we thank you for that. WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
And how long has it been since you last contributed to 89.7? Has it been about a year? If it has, consider renewing your support today to help keep the station on the air for another year. You've likely listened a lot during the last 12 months, and you'll be able to keep listening even if you can't or you choose not to renew your membership. But your annual support is what makes 89.7 NPR News worth listening to. Listeners' support makes 89.7 more independent, therefore more reliable. And if these are the qualities that you appreciate in public radio, if you appreciate us not being beholden to advertisers, renew your support today. Please call 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org.
Hey, just about a minute to go before we get back to All Sides with Ian Fisher. And again, your gift of $10 a month as a sustaining member, we'll be happy to offer you as our way of saying thank you. The Power Foods for the Brain book by Dr. Neil Barnard, that's Ann's guest today. Power Foods of the Brain, we'll send that to you as our way of saying thanks at the $10 a month sustaining membership level at WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678. Please do so right now, just a few minutes remaining in the hour, so we do need to hear from you if you want to call and support All Sides with Ann Fisher.
1-866-897-9678. There's no shortage of information sources, and news is changing, advancing. You may be listening on your iPad right now or on your smartphone, so you know there are a lot of sources, and a lot of it's clutter, but 89.7 really cuts through the conversation, cuts through the clutter to bring you what's important. So please support that. Call 1-866-897-9678 or pledge at WOSU.org.
Support comes from the Wellington School, where fearless learning is celebrated in preschool through grade 12. The Wellington School will host an information session for prospective parents on Monday morning, October 21st at 9. More at wellington.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Dr. Neil Barnard, author of Power Foods for the Brain, and we're discussing how to protect yourself from Alzheimer's and other kinds of dementia, keep your brain working sharply. We were talking earlier about foods and vitamins, but if you want to really help your head, you've got to move your feet and arms for 40 minutes three times a week. That's one of the recommendations in the dietary guidelines that were put forth this summer at the International Conference on Nutrition and the Brain in Washington. Dr. Barnard, why exercise?
You know, when you exercise, your heart starts pumping more rapidly. And it's pumping oxygen and nutrients all around your body, but especially to the brain. This sounds a little funny to say, but the brain is your heart's favorite organ. Your brain only weighs about maybe 3% of your body weight, but it gets up to 20% of your blood flow. So at the University of Illinois, researchers brought in a group of people. They were up in years. They were having memory problems. But they said, let's get a brisk walk three times a week. And they followed them over a long period of time. And what they showed was that the part of at the middle of the brain called the hippocampus, which is involved in memory, was actually, instead of shrinking, which normally happens with age, it actually was pumping up in size based on the exercise that people were getting. And they introduced the exercise in a particularly useful way. What they asked everyone to do was to just go for a 10-minute walk. And that sounds so easy. So nobody would say no. And they did that three times a week. Then the next week, they went for 15-minute walks. The week after that, 20. And they just upped it by 5 minutes a week. And once they got to 40 minutes, three times a week, that was all it took to reverse the age-related brain shrinkage and measurably improve memory. So exercise is a really, really important thing. Plus, it's harder to be holding onto the buffalo wings and dip when you're exercising. I think that's the other part of it.
So in the recommendations, it refers to aerobic exercise in your routine equivalent to 40 minutes of brisk walking three times a week. What do we mean by that?
Well, what it means is don't go for a trudge. You know, some people go for a walk, but you're looking at the leaves and the sky and things. If your heart is not pumping a little faster, you're not really getting the physical benefit. You might be getting the chill out type benefit, but you're really not getting any physical benefit. On the other hand, if you are walking so hard that you cannot speak and your breathing is labored, that's too much. So we call it a brisk walk. You should still be able to carry on a conversation, but I want 40 minutes three times a week. And if you want, you can do more, but that's the level that's been shown to be effective.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Dr. Neil Barnard. If you have a question or comment for him, you give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Let's talk more about the foods. Are there quick descriptions you can give people for when they go to the grocery store and they look in, you know, where should they look first in the grocery store? Maybe that's the way to.
Well, I start out in produce. You know, the human retina evolved to detect antioxidants. In the same way as a dog has a hearing range that greatly exceeds ours, they can hear frequencies that we can't detect ever. They can smell things. They have such an acute sense of smell that's why they get hired by TSA. Now they're looking for drugs and bombs. Well, we can't do that. But human beings, every species is detecting certain things that are good for them. And so in the same way the dog's sense of smell is there to detect prey, we are detecting antioxidants. So you go into the produce aisle, the bright red tomato, that's lycopene. That's what makes it red. That's the antioxidant. The orange carrot, beta carotene. The purple grapes, anthocyanins. Your retina is this wonderful device that we just take for granted, but it's guiding us to these healthy foods. And unfortunately, we now put those colors into a candy bag, but in nature, that would guide us to healthy foods. And then when you're going around the rest of the store, make sure that the things that you are putting into your grocery cart are in four main groups. Vegetables and fruits, that's from produce. But don't forget the beans and grains. In countries where those are their main staples, as opposed to the cheese, the meat, and the fish, the chicken, whatever, the beans and the grains, those are the effectively fat-free, high-fiber foods that keep you healthy. So vegetables, fruits, beans, grains, pile them up in your grocery cart, and you've got a healthy body.
Folate is recommended for women of childbearing age because it aids in fetal development. What does it do for the brain?
Yeah, folate is a B vitamin. In fact, the name comes from foliage, like green leafy vegetables, kale, collards, spinach, high in folate, foliage. It's a B vitamin that works with two others. It works with B6 and B12, like a big group of shovels. What they're shoveling out of the brain is some waste products. You don't think of it this way, but your body is a factory. Every cell is making wastes. And one waste product is called homocysteine. This won't be on the test, but homocysteine builds up in the blood. It damages the brain. Doctors measure it. They can say, I'm sorry, your homocysteine level is high. This is going to hurt your heart, and it will hurt your brain. Well, how do you get rid of it? The way you get rid of it is you eat your green leafy vegetables, foliage. That gives you the B vitamin called folate. Beans and bananas give you B6. And B12 is the one food or the one vitamin that really ought to come as a supplement. Those three together reduce homocysteine. And at the University of Oxford, researchers showed that people who get high levels of all three vitamins can reduce brain shrinkage over time and greatly improve memory, even if the memory is starting to go bad.
I thought it was interesting that the dietary guidelines included something as minimalist, for lack of a better word, as one small handful of nuts or seeds a day.
Well, in the Chicago study that I mentioned, researchers looked at people who ate vitamin E, and not pills, but vitamin E from foods. It's in nuts and in seeds. There's a lot of it: walnuts, almonds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds. And the people who got even a rather modestly high level of vitamin E had about half the risk of Alzheimer's compared to other people. So how do you do it? Well, you can have a little handful of nuts or seeds, but if you have an enormous handful of nuts or seeds, which a lot of us tend to do because we use them not as an ingredient, but we use them as just a snack, well, you're getting too much fat. You're getting too many calories. So my rule of thumb is take those sunflower seeds or those almonds or walnuts, pour them in your hand. In the palm of your hand, that's an ounce. If it hits your fingers, that's more than an ounce.
Okay.
And then take those walnuts and don't pop them in your mouth yet. Crumble them up and put them on your salad so you're using them as an ingredient, not a snack food. That gives you the vitamin E that'll protect your brain.
I made a spinach pesto last night with almonds.
Well, if you have any left over, I'll be right
over.
It's
really, really good. Kate in Columbus, you're on the air with Dr. Neil Barnard. Welcome, Kate.
Hi. I just had a comment. I work as a registered dietitian in a hospital, and I see a lot of outpatients coming in for diabetes in the area where I'm located. Earlier, you were talking about, you know, the blood sugar control and how that factors in. And what I find with a lot of people is that when we start going over their diets and figuring out what they need to change, they actually need to add more carbohydrates back into their diet to get better blood sugar control. So I just wanted to thank you for spreading that information, because it's definitely something that a lot of people are unclear about.
Oh, bless your heart for saying that. You know, so many dietitians really are fighting an uphill battle because you have so much dietary expertise, but going in the other direction are fad diet books that say, don't eat bread, don't eat brown rice, don't eat beans, don't eat sweet potatoes, don't eat all these sources of healthy carbohydrate. And what does that leave you with? It leaves you with gravy and, you know, high-fat foods, and those things cause insulin resistance to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I always try to remember, to remind people that if you look at Japan or China, historically, they're eating very high carbohydrate diets with rice and noodles, very thin, very little diabetes, until fast food came in and pushed the rice away. And now they're paying the price for that. So anyway, thank you so much for that. And good luck with all the really, really important work that you're doing.
Thank you, Kate, for that call. If anyone else wants to give us a call, there's still time. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is maybe a good time to bring up the fact that there are lots of great recipes in the book. Everything from Baked Ziti to sweet potato burritos, English muffin pizzas, tortas frijoles, grilled eggplant niçoise.
Yeah. Well, thank you for mentioning that. The reason that I put those in there is that the science is one thing, but the other thing, the other part of it is, what is this going to look like on my plate? And and the kind of diet changes that I push people toward are big changes. I'll say the healthiest meal is a vegan meal, no animal products at all. And some people say, well, where do I get food from the planet Vegas? You know, what is this? So you have to help people see. We're talking about real things. So a sweet potato burrito happens to be actually very nice, very delicious, a little lighter than the greasy type you might be used to, but it's good. And I can make you a bang-up pasta, and we've got soups and lots of things that not only make us healthier, but show us a few new tricks, too, in the kitchen.
And these recipes, you didn't make them up. They're from trained chefs, right?
Never let a doctor make recipes. No. These are not my recipes. I work with food developers. And for this one, I have a couple of terrific ones. One is Christine Waltermeyer, who's in New Jersey, and the other is Jason Weirich, who is in Arizona. Jason's a little more the spice guy, and Christine is more the straight-ahead kind of person. But I put in foods from both because some people want one kind of food and other people want something else.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. More of my conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard is still to come. But first, here's morning news anchor Steve Brown and membership manager Rob Walker to talk about supporting 89.7 NPR News right now.
And thank you very much, Ann. It is important that you support 89.7 NPR News right now to help pay for programs like All Signs with Ann Fisher. So please call 1-866-897-9678 or pledge at WOSU.org. And as a regular listener to All Sides, you know that you're always going to hear something worthwhile. Today, we're asking you to put a value on that. And because your contribution to 89.7 NPR News is vital, listener support is our most important source of income. So please help us pay for 89.7 NPR News by making that contribution now at WOSU.org or when you call 1-866-897-9678. 877-9678.
And don't forget, for everybody who calls or contributes this hour, when you do so at the $10 a month sustaining membership level, our gift to you is Dr. Neal Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. We just have about 20 minutes left in the hour, so just about 20 minutes for you to call or go online right now and support this program and get this great thank you gift. It's a three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. The book has valuable information about nutrition's surprising effects on the brain. And the book also includes 75 power food recipes developed by experienced chefs. Make a $10 a month sustaining gift or a $120 one-time gift to 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And thanks.
And when you make that gift, you will join Blake Bolton from Columbus, Mary and Charles Mayers, I hope I said your last name right, from Reynoldsburg, as well as Christine Barber from Columbus. Thanks to all of those people for their pledges of support to 89.7. If All Sides with Ann Fisher is one of your favorite programs here on 89.7, now is the time to support it. All Sides brings you interesting conversations on topics that matter to you, that expose you to new authors, new ideas, new wellness topics from doctors. You can participate in All Sides on the phone, via email, Facebook, Twitter. Listeners are a real part of the conversation, an important part of the conversation, and their pledges of support are equally important. So please flip open that WOSU Public Media mobile app now and hit donate. You can also visit WOSU.org, and you can also call 1-866-897-9678.
And this hour's guest is Dr. Neal Barnard. You hear all kinds of great guests on All Sides with Ann Fisher. It could be very, very serious topics. It could be timely topics. It could be health and wellness, Tech Tuesday. These are the shows that we present to you, that Ann does, because we know how much you like it. Now, we're asking you to support it financially. And we think a $10 a month commitment just might be the right place to do it. And as a $10 a month sustaining member, Dr. Neal Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain, is our gift to you for saying, as a way of saying thank you for your investment in 89.7 NPR News. But we do ask you to call or go online right now. We just have a few minutes to go in this hour, and we have a few minutes for you to call and before we get back to the guest. So please keep our volunteers busy or go online. It's easy to do, WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
And people who listen to 89.7 NPR News every day know that every year has been a bigger news year than the one before, and that's not going to change this year. The world is more complex, so are the issues facing our country. And that's probably why you're listening right now, to help you understand all of that, to help you process all this news coming at you at once. On public radio, we delve into topics really, really deep. It's not just headlines. It's really deep, important conversations. And it's why we're asking you to make a contribution to 89.7 NPR News right now. Every gift, every donation helps pay for the news and the analysis that keeps you informed every day. So just take 2 minutes of your time to open WOSU.org or to pick up your phone and dial 1-866-897-9678.
And please call or go online right now and show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's a simple and easy phone call. We have some great volunteers ready to take your call, or you can go to our website or the mobile app. No matter how you choose to support us, we ask you to do so. That simple gift of $10 or $15 a month, maybe a first-time membership of $5 a month, all as sustaining memberships, means that we can continue to bring you the programs, and, quite frankly, we're using your money the best way possible. It's the most efficient use of your money to provide you the programming when you become a sustaining member. And at $10 a month, our gift to you is Dr. Neal Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. We hope you take advantage of that, but more importantly, we hope that you call and show your support. WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
Again, 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And we say it all the time, every gift makes a difference. And it really does. For just the $5 a month level, the basic membership, you'll get the WOSU program guide, airfare. You'll also get the WOSU FYIE newsletter, and you also get a WOSU public media grocery tote, and you'll support public radio. So please give what you can. Call 1-866-897-9678 or log on to WOSU.org.
Support comes from Wexner Heritage Village, home of geriatric planning solutions. Now there's a GPS for families navigating the complex and changing landscape of senior health care. More on Wexner Heritage Village's geriatric planning solutions at whv.org. Support comes from the Columbus Museum of Art, celebrating one of our city's native sons with George Bellows and the American Experience. The show features more than 35 paintings and highlights the museum's collection of Bellows lithographs. On view now through January 4th. Tickets at columbusmuseum.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Dr. Neil Barnard. We've been talking about what you can eat to keep your mind sharp and your memory strong. Dr. Barnard is author of Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. We have a few minutes left, so give us a call if you have a question or comment for Dr. Barnard, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And let's just go straight to Margaret on Marble Cliff. Hi, Margaret. You're on the air with Dr. Barnard.
Thank you. I'm wondering about the value of eating the good foods raw versus cooked, and I'm wondering if some are actually enhanced by cooking and what's the best form of cooking them.
Well, that's a great question. Some are enhanced by cooking. Tomatoes are the classic one where the lycopene that gives them their red color and is a powerful antioxidant, when the tomato is cooked so that the little cellular walls are broken down, that more lycopene is released compared with having them just raw. And some foods like broccoli, kale, collards, they're tough to eat unless they are cooked. So there you're gonna do a whole lot better by having them cooked. Obviously, rice and beans, they've got to be cooked. And although raw foods, there's a lot to be said for fruits, some certain raw vegetables like carrots. But cooking certain foods allows us to expand the range of healthy foods that we can take advantage of. So although raw is good, I don't think we should look down our nose at cooking. Best method, I would use non-oily techniques. I'm really big on reducing the fat content of the diet, and in Power Foods for the Brain, I have some tricks to help us keep from glugging that olive oil all over our foods as we cook them.
Thank you, Margaret, for that call. We have an email from a listener. They ask, what is the best way to ensure adequate calcium intake, especially for women with bone density issues? So I imagine that a little older woman.
Okay, well, great question. That question came up when it turned out that milk did not help strong bones. This came out of Harvard. The nurse's health study showed that women followed over an 18-year period broke just as many bones, even if they were carefully drinking milk, compared to those who didn't drink milk or consumed it very rarely. It just didn't help. So the question is, what do you need to do? And really quickly, you do need calcium. Green leafy vegetables are rich in an absorbable form of calcium. Brussels sprouts and collards and kale have highly absorbable calcium. Beans also have calcium, but then you also need to be able to absorb that calcium, and that's where vitamin D comes in. If you're getting sunlight, you're getting vitamin D. If you are indoors all the time or use a sunscreen, then a vitamin D supplement is important. Up to about 2,000 international units a day is safe. Don't go more than that without a doctor telling you to. So up to about 2,000 is okay. And then physical exercise. Exercising muscles, that stresses the bone a little bit, and that strengthens them over time. Fruits and vegetables, for reasons that have never been sorted out, they seem to strengthen the bones and reduce fracture risk. So vegetable-rich diets somehow do it. I don't think it's just the calcium. There's more to it. Don't smoke. Be modest with caffeine and alcohol in large amounts. They're both bad for the bones. So that's really kind of the prescription.
Thanks a lot for that question. Tom in Hilliard, you're on the air with Dr. Neil Barnard. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. I just read a book, Wheat Belly, by Dr. William Davis, and his idea is that whole grains, especially wheat bread, really increase these insulin resistance and blood sugar spikes. And his idea is that for the best health, and that includes brain health, that we should have a diet that is high in good fats, like the fats from avocado, and perhaps lean meat. And I'd like to hear your comments on that.
Yeah, no, it's a funny thing how these things come and go. Before that, there was a book that said French women don't get fat. And so French women, you can see them walking down the sidewalk, and what is in their shopping bag? Long baguettes made from wheat. And so they're doing so well, and we should be eating more wheat-based breads. And then along comes this new book that has gotten some attention saying, well, no, the reason you're heavy is because of the wheat. And I think the science is fairly clear that what the big problem is not so much the bread, but the butter we are smearing on it and the cheese and the meat that goes in the sandwich. Keep in mind, carbohydrate, whether it's from wheat or any other source, has only 4 calories in a gram. But a gram of fat from any source, chicken fat, beef fat, or olive oil, for that matter, has 9 calories. So the fats are the part that makes us get chunky. And sometimes the carbohydrates, whether it's bread or pasta, is really just the vehicle that transmits all that fat into our bodies. And the skinniest people on the planet are cultures that have grain-based diets, like Japan or China. And in recent years, they are sacrificing their grain-based diet. They're not eating rice as much. Cheese and meat are going up, and they are getting heavy, getting diabetes. Heart disease risk in China has escalated dramatically in recent years. So going back to healthy grains is a good idea.
Thanks a lot for that call, Tom. Let's talk about water. We have not talked about water yet and how, whether or not that's a big deal or whether you can just get your liquids from, say, the cranberry juice or the blueberry juice or the grape juice.
Well, it's a great point. You do want to be hydrated, especially the more active you are, the more essential it is to be hydrated. And you should have clean water. We've been concerned about some communities have water that has aluminum in it, and it's still controversial as to how good or bad that may be, but it's added at some water treatment plants to remove sediment. And if they don't remove the aluminum, then you're drinking it, and we have been concerned that may create problems. Your water plant can tell you. They will tell you if there's aluminum in it, and if you're concerned, you can get a reverse osmosis filter, or you can get these big bottles delivered to your home of spring water, and they're all completely fine. There is water, of course, in foods. If you eat an apple, mm-hmm. Or an orange or a pear, you get a lot of fluid that replenishes the body, but most of us need to drink some water in addition to that.
And then as far as what's in the water, there are other issues, environmental issues, copper, iron.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And they also come to us from cookware, or let's say that soda sat in an aluminum can for about 6 months on the back shelves of a grocery store and you drank it. Does the metal get into the soda or to the beer? Yeah, it does. So a glass container is better, but the closer you get to pure water, that's really all that's the only beverage after the age of weaning that our bodies actually need.
Gloria in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. I have a question about genetically modified foods. I know you're really pushing the grains, but so many of them are so highly modified, as well as a lot of other foods now. I wonder if you can address that problem and the way they can affect the body.
Yeah, great question, and luckily it's an easy one. There are only 2 genetically engineered foods in the United States. One is corn, the other is soybeans. And when I go back home to Fargo, North Dakota, where I grew up, as far as the eye can see, it's fields and fields of corn. It's genetically modified, and no human is going to eat any of it. It's all cattle feed or chicken feed, hog feed. You can easily avoid that by buying organic. If you get a soybean product, tofu or soy milk, that is marked organic, by law, it cannot be GMO. So look for the organic label. You're going to be fine. But the person who, of course, who has to worry is the person who's eating a steak or a chicken breast, because all their life they have been eating genetically modified feed grains. Unfortunately, that's an experiment that I would have preferred not to see happen.
614-292-8513. We still have just a few minutes to go if you have a question for Dr. Neil Barnard. We have talked about how animal products and fats are bad for the brain. And someone did ask earlier about calcium, because if they're not drinking milk, what do you recommend out there to substitute for milk? Who should and shouldn't be drinking soy milk, for example?
Soy milk is actually okay. This is a fascinating area.
It's kind of controversial lately.
It's extremely controversial, but the science part is not. Back in 1921, people discovered in soybeans compounds called isoflavones. And their chemical structure is a bit like estrogen. It's not estrogen, but it's a little like it. And so people thought, if it is, then a woman who drinks soy milk would have a higher risk of cancer, or a woman who had breast cancer would have a higher risk of recurrence. The science turns out to be the opposite. Soy milk drinking or tofu eating women have about a 30% reduction in likelihood of developing breast cancer. And if they have had cancer in the past, soy milk, tofu, soy products reduce the risk of mortality, similarly, about 30%. And we have two good studies on that in the U.S. about survivorship, one big one in Shanghai. And they go across a broad range of intakes. So soy is okay. Having said that, soy is not required. If you don't like the veggie sausage or whatever, you can skip it. And to tell you the truth, the closer it looks like a bean, the more natural it is, the better. So edamame, good. Soy, bacon, you know, that's pretty highly processed.
And then quickly, a lot of people are getting the juicers.
I think they're good.
And
yeah,
they're just throwing everything in but the kitchen sink.
Don't throw the kitchen sink in there. But the juice, you would be better off with the whole fruit or whole vegetable. However, the beauty of a juicer is it's fun. And so kids, they want to throw the kale in along with the tomatoes and things and just see what they can come up with. They'll make green smoothies, and they call them the Shrek smoothie. It's fun. It's sort of like a culinary chemistry set. So have fun with it. It brings these foods in your life in a delightful way. So I think they're good.
And then coffee. You said that it can affect your sleep habits, but all in all, if it's done, taken reasonably or you know, a reasonable number of cups a day early in the morning, is it bad?
Well, it does affect personality. It does affect sleep. But researchers in Finland show that people who drink between 3 and 5 cups a day have less risk of Alzheimer's disease compared to their non-coffee drinking friends. So I'm not here promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a coffee drinker myself, but I have to say the studies are quite reassuring on it.
But you sound like a coffee drinker.
I'm high on my morning asparagus.
Dr. Barnard, thank you so much for joining us. As usual, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the great work that you're doing.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Dr. Neil Barnard for joining us today. And now, with more information on how you can support our station, here's morning news anchor Steve Brown and membership manager Rob Walker.
And thank you very much, Ann. You can support this station by calling 1-866-897-9678 or by pledging at WOSU.org. And this is the 89.7 NPR News Fall Fund Drive, and our goal is to ensure that all the programs you value, programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher and Fresh Air On Point, Here and Now, all these shows stay on the air, and a contribution of just $50 or $100, as little as $5 a month can do that. So again, please call 1-866-897-9678 or log on to give your gift at WOSU.org.
And once again, this is the final opportunity for you to support us at the $10 a month sustaining membership level. And we'll be happy to offer you Power Foods for the Brain by Dr. Neil Barnard. That's Ann's guest today. You'll learn a lot of great information from this book and from this hour. So this is a great way to continue the conversation, is to go ahead and make that gift right now of $10 a month as a sustainer or a $120 one-time gift. In this book, Dr. Barnard lays out 3 simple steps to protect the mind and strengthen the memory. It's our gift to you when you contribute at $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And when you call or log on for that pledge of support, you will join Barbara Mastin from Dublin, Jennifer Dickinson from Columbus, Vicki Nelson from Columbus, and Paul and Kathy Crump from Columbus also, all of them pledging their support in just the last few minutes. So thanks again to them. And you can join them when you call 1-866-897-9678 or when you log on to WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News is dedicated to bringing you in-depth local news. We have our award-winning news team. We have this 2-hour daily call-in show, All Sides with Ann Fisher. This program is only possible because of listener support. You hear in-depth features on the issues that impact life in Central Ohio. You hear conversations on all the topics that matter here on All Sides. This program covers just about everything there is to cover in Central Ohio. So support this programming. Support the programming that keeps you connected. Visit WOSU.org. You can donate using the WOSU Public Media mobile app, or you can use your smartphone to call 1-866-897-9678.
And when you do support us, it takes just a few minutes. We ask you some very basic information, your name, address, telephone number, what credit card you'd like to use. But more importantly, we're going to ask you if you want to make a one-time gift or a sustaining membership. We encourage sustaining memberships. It's a great way to keep your membership active all the time on 89.7 NPR News. No need to email you or send you as much mail about renewing your membership. It is ongoing, it is safe, it's secure, and it's convenient. Your WOSU member card will show up every year as well. When you consider a $10 a month gift right now, we'll send you Dr. Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain, at WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
And when you make that gift, you'll join Susan Johns from Bell Center. Thanks for your pledge, Susan. We're all familiar with these renewal requests. We're asked to renew subscriptions to newspapers, magazines, gyms. 89.7 works the same way. Every year we have to ask people to renew their support so they can continue to hear the news they depend on. And sometimes we don't renew a subscription we no longer have time for. But if you still listen to 89.7 NPR News, if you still have time for us, then we need that pledge of support. Please consider what fits into your budget and then make the call or pledge online. It just takes about 2 minutes. You can pledge at WOSU.org, and you can also pledge when you call 1-866-897-9678.
And for this hour only, we only have a couple of minutes remaining. When you make a one-time gift of $120 or a sustaining membership of $10 a month, we'll be happy to offer you Dr. Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. This book will help you put power foods to work, strengthen your brain, and defeat memory threats. The book is also an extension of the conversation that Ann just had on All Sides Today. If you enjoy Wellness Wednesday, well, this is a great book to have as well, because you're showing your support for not just the program, not just the book, but also the kind of overarching theme that you hear every Wednesday on All Sides. It is at WOSU.org or via our mobile app, WOSU Public Media mobile app, or by calling 1-866-897-9678.
And we talk about how easy it is. It's really worth repeating. It's very, very simple. It just takes a gift of a dollar or two a week and 2 minutes of your time. The benefits will be here all year long in the form of All Sides with Ann Fisher and our local newscast, the NPR newscast, and all the other great shows we air through the day here on 89.7. Most listeners do use a credit card when they give. It's quick and it's easier for us. It takes less resources for us. It only takes 2 minutes, again, to make that pledge, and then you've done your part for the entire year. You've helped assure shows like All Sides with Ann Fisher can stay on the air. So go to our website right now, WOSU.org, or call 1-866-897-9678.
And we're in the final minutes here before we have news headlines from NPR and then Terry Gross and Fresh Air coming up in a few minutes. Right now, when you contribute at $10 a month, we'll be happy to offer you Dr. Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. It's a $10 a month sustaining membership or a one-time gift of $120. Your call or online gift right now really does matter. Goes a long way at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Again, 1-866-897-9678, or pledge your support on our website, WOSU.org. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.